everybody. Welcome to But What Do We Know podcast, episode 111. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Anna.
And we're back. We had a little hiatus last week for Labor Day, but we are here.
Holiday break.
A holiday break.
Just like everyone else.
So, did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, it was fine. It was pretty low key. You had a interesting holiday, didn't you? Did you go somewhere? Did you do something?
Oh my god, we had a crazy one. we had a wild one. We went to Stoked for Summer. I forget what it was called, but it was a show in Asbury.
There were a bunch of bands. I couldn't keep track. I was like, did she go to Lake George? I'm like, no, that was the other.
No, this time was Asbury. We went there. It was quite an ordeal. I'm not gonna bore you through it, but there was a fight. Nobody's hurt or anything like that. But there was a white supremacist guy, and then that didn't work. It was not good. But not we were on the good side, obviously.
Clearly,
we'll throw hands at a white supremacist
for sure.
But
is everyone okay? There was no like
everybody's
injuries?
Fine. Everybody's okay. Fine. So we went to Asbury, went to a show. It was on the beach, which was really cool too, but it did rain. Mm-hmm. The Menzingers were there, and when they played Anna, cool. I was like, that's my friend's name. Because I wish
Anna was here.
Like, my friend's name is Anna. And I live in Scranton.
We know you. We're together. We're
the same. But that was a lot of fun. It was like super fun, and it was nice to be at like with in humanity and not be so scared.
I was gonna ask, how did it feel being around like a group of people in the world of COVID?
Well, so it was all outside.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel as scary, but it was definitely weird.
Different than
we've
been used to.
Yeah, it was a lot. And then, so this weekend, we were with the other Melissa and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a projection arts festival.
Oh.
In Binghamton. I always get those confused. It was pretty cool.
In Binghamton?
Yeah.
New York?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I saw pics.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. But it was much more low-key than Asbury. That's really it. I mean, in between that, I just worked and stuff, but...
Yeah. Per use.
Yeah.
That's fun. Getting out there. Living the life. Ugh. I am now back into a part-time telework status.
Oh.
So that's good.
Oh. I thought you meant you got a part-time job.
No. I was offered a part-time job doing, like, counseling again, and I was like, I can't do it. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but, like, my life's so much better not working a million jobs.
Yeah, well, yeah, it sucks.
But, no, I'm doing telework 2 days a week now, is better than nothing. I mean, I wish it was, like, more, but
yeah,
it's fine. So that's my big life update. Pretty boring.
Pretty boring.
We are, I know I've been talking about this for like probably years, but we are getting closer to the whole house situation. I spoke to a mortgage broker and we're getting like all of the paperwork together. So I got my paperwork together, but someone who doesn't want me to organize their paperwork is, he said he's going to get his together. So I'm just waiting on that so I can submit it to get our pre-approval.
Well, we're dipping into it now. We're like,
oh, I saw Cliff's post.
Yeah. So we're starting to put our feelers out. It's nothing like crazy, but that's awesome. Did you find one that you liked?
Well, the nice thing is that it seems like the market's slowing down a little bit now.
That's why we were like, okay.
Now is like a good time to like start the process. There is two houses that I'm eyeing up. Mm-hmm. There's one, I don't want to like, triangulate my location. Yeah. I mean, whatever. But there's one in a town called Archibald, which is, like, I don't know, like, 15 minutes from me. Mm-hmm. And then another one in Clark Summit was also the other direction, like, 15 yeah. minutes from me. The one, but they've both been on the market, like, longer than a week. So I'm like, oh, what's wrong with it? But, like, the one in Archibald, the floors need to be redone. Mm. I can already tell that from the photos. But I was like, and it's only the upstairs floors that they're hardwood need to be refinished. I was like, if that's the only issue, like, I can live with that. Like, good. I'll just do them, like, one at a time. And it's been on the market for a little bit, so I can offer them a lower price for it and see if they'll take it. So that one I like. And then there's another one, and my uncle likes that one because it's literally 5-minute walking distance from his house. So, and then there's another one in Clark Summit that I like, and it's a little bit pricier than the one in Archibald, but it looks like everything's, like, fine, like, move-in ready.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it looks like it's like an older home. I'm like, definitely gives off haunted vibes.
But that's not always bad-ish.
No. I have to get in there and see. This kitchen's a little bit smaller, which is fine, but it's on, like, a quarter acre lot, so it has, like, some land with it. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
So those are my two main ones right now. So we just need to get someone, I won't say who, to get their paperwork done so I can submit it and get our pre-approval and go see the houses. So my goal is to have a house within the next, like, 4 to 5-ish months.
Wow. And then
be done.
Yeah. You have a lot.
Because once you get, like, the pre-approval in and, like, you put in a bid, like, I think it's
quick.
I've been seeing people say, like, after you put an offer and it's accepted, it's, like, 1 to 2 months before, like, you close on the house. Yeah. So.
Yeah, life is busy.
It is busy. So that's the major life update. Hopefully by next week there's more progress on the house front. So
cool.
We'll keep you posted.
But at least we have each other.
If you and Cliff have any questions about researching houses, I've been researching for the last, like, year and
good.
A half.
We will.
I can let you guys know. It's been, I actually liked that I didn't, like, jump into it and, like, bought a house and, like, overpaid, because it gave me time to, like, really understand how things work and, like, what all is needed and, like, improve our credit scores and, like, save up money and stuff like that. So
yeah, I have no clue about it. And I have, like, 50% of my realtor's license. Like, I just, well, I was doing it, and then, like, you know, the pandemic and shit, and then so I have to redo it, and I still don't fucking understand it fully.
Well, I don't think you have to know it as a realtor. I think you have to know it as, like, a mortgage broker.
True. Yeah. That is exactly. I don't know shit. Like,
well, I'll let you know, not that I bought a house or anything, but if you have questions, I can guide you through my chaos that I've been doing for the last year and a half.
Thank God.
Oh, man. So, do you have a brink of tears for today?
So tell me why do you cry? Tell me why do you cry? What pushed you to the brink?
I might have one, but I know that you have one.
I have one, but it's long, so should I go into, or do you want to give yours first?
Mine is, like, a future brink of tears, because I think maybe I have some kind of a, like, spider bite or, like, a tick bite. I'm not sure.
You have, like, Lyme disease.
Something is wrong with my
arm. You flashed your arm at me, and I gasped.
I have a lot of, I have anxiety about it, so I'm trying to make it hilarious.
Well, please visit an urgent care as soon as possible.
I'm going to wait till tomorrow. If it looks shitty, I'll go.
Yeah, you're like, I'm like, does it itch? Like, no, it's pretty hot to the touch, though. I'm like, yeah, you should really get that checked out. And it's all different colors.
Well, I did put an orange marker line around it. To try and.
Yeah, but other than that, it's still a different color.
Yeah, true. But we'll see. But that's my almost break of tears.
Oh my god.
But okay, let's.
Well, I hope it's nothing serious.
I know, me too.
Okay, let me put my water jug down for this one. And I'm going to already tell people, like, you might want to fast forward the next 10 minutes if you, like, don't care, because I'm about to go off.
Okay, so
in July, so, like, 2 months ago, and this is about car insurance, so if you don't care about car insurance, just please, like, fast forward. So, my car insurance, I have Geico for my car insurance, right?
Me too.
So, 2 months ago, I found out through my job that I can get, like, a better rate for car insurance through Travelers. So I was like, okay, like, let me see, like, what Travelers can give me a quote for. So I got a quote from Travelers, and it was, like, going to be, like, I don't know, like $50 cheaper per month. And I was like, okay, like, I'm, like, switch to Travelers then. So I contacted Travelers. I was like, okay, like, I want to switch. And I was scheduled to switch to Travelers on July 15th, mm-hmm. and I still had Geico during that time. So July 15th, my Travelers policy went into effect. So I called Geico on July 15th and I said, hey, I'm canceling my policy. I went with someone else. And they're like, oh, like, we don't want to lose you. You've been with us for 10 years, blah, 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 blah. So they're like, let me see if we can give you, like, a better rate. So they go in their system and they're like, oh, we can give you a better rate. And it was going to be, like, $10 cheaper than Traveler. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's, like, a savings of, like, $60. So, like, yeah. I'll just stay with Geico. And then I call Travelers. I was like, hey, my policy just started today, but I'm canceling it because I'm staying with my previous one. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, like, no problem. They canceled it, gave me a refund, whatever. Okay, thought that'd be no problem. Sounds like a simple situation, right? So then a month ago or so, I get a letter from the DMV. And they're like, we got notified that you canceled your car insurance. What? Yeah, please send us notification that, or documentation that you indeed have insurance coverage that started July 15th, because that's when we were notified that you canceled your insurance on July 15th. I'm like, okay, Travelers probably have to, like, report it, yeah. So, like, fine, no problem. Like, so I'll mail them my proof of insurance of Geico that it's a new policy, but I retained my insurance the whole time. So I sent that out a month ago, didn't think anything of it. Friday, this last Friday, I came home from work. I have another letter from the DMV, and I thought it was just going to be like, oh, we got your paperwork. Yeah, like, confirmation. Sorry to bother you. Open it, and they're like, we previously sent you this letter, and we either didn't receive a response or the paperwork that you sent was insufficient. Therefore, we are suspending your registration for 3 months, starting October 11th. So please return your tags in this envelope. You can either do that, or two, you can pay, like, a civil penalty of $500 plus a restoration fee. Oh, no. Or three, you can file an appeal with the Court of Common Pleas of your county, and it'll be on hold until the appeal is resolved. I'm like, motherfuckers. Wow. And I was like, I'm like, I do not need this right now. And of course, I get it on Friday when I'm home from work, so I can't even call because it's closed. It's for the fucking weekend. So today, I call, and there's no, like direct number to call. Never. Or anything. Never. So this morning, I call the DMV, and of course, I'm on hold for like 20 minutes, half an hour, and I call, and I was, like, all riled up, and, like, this poor woman that answered the phone, like, you could tell she was sick. Like, she was, like, sniffling. Aww. And stuff. So I was like, no, I gotta, like, talk to this fucking lady. So I call, and I talk to her, and I explain the situation all over again, and I said, so what option do I have? Because, like, I have maintained insurance. I don't know what else to give to you guys. Like, what do you want from me? And she's like, oh, okay, like, I understand. You can, like, submit, like, proof of insurance through that period online. We have, like, an online option, or you can email it, or you can fax it to us. And I said, okay, like, give me the directions for all three ways. So she's like, she told me how to upload it, or fax it, or email. And then she said, the uploading, we process that within 2 days, but email and fax, we have a 23-day processing time. And if I want to appeal the case, I have to appeal it within 30 days of getting that letter. So it's cutting it really fucking close.
What?
So I was like, okay. So I called Geico. I was like, hey, can you give me, like, documentation that shows, like, I did not have a lapse of coverage? Like, I need something to, whatever, show to the DMV. And Geico, I had my old ID cards and my new ID cards to show that they overlapped one another, that there was no lapse. And I had them send me, like, a statement of my policy showing, like, every day, like, when a payment was made, when the balance or when the policy was renewed, like, every single step from, like, July until present. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to upload all of this to the website. So, and, like, a fucking letter that I wrote. So I go to upload to the website. There is a size limit of how much you can upload. And it basically only lets you upload, like, 2 pages. So I'm like, motherfucker. So all I can really upload was, like, my 2 ID cards from the first policy and the second policy. So I upload that. And then I email it and I fax it with all of the paperwork that I had to put together. So it's there are 3 different ways. And I'm like, you know what? In the meantime, let me also, like, fax an appeal to the court in case I need to start that process. Yeah. So I did that. And then the Lackawanna County Courthouse calls me. And the guy was like, I don't know. I got this paperwork at my desk. Like, I don't know what this is. And I was like, I don't know. Like, they told me to appeal it. And, like, I'm sending it to you to appeal. And he's like, oh, like, you need to actually, like, file, like, there's, like, an appeal form. I'm like, okay, like, where can I get this appeal form? Because it's not readily available anywhere. So he instructs me on how to do it, or where it is. And it's all, like, legal, like wording on it. So I have to figure out what it means. And then I fill out the appeal. And he's like, but what I recommend is you fill out the appeal, you email the appeal to this email address. But before you email it, I recommend that you go down to the courthouse and pay the docket fee to file the appeal. Because if the judge gets it and he sees that you have an appeal, but the docket isn't paid, he's not even going to look at it. What? And I said, okay. So I go on the website to see how much the fee is to file an appeal or to file the docket. It's like almost $200.
What?
I'm like, so this is just to file it. And then I would have to, the judge would have to.
Wrong.
Yeah. So I would have to file it and then the judge would see, and then I would have a fucking court date to go before a judge to make my case for an appeal. And I'm like, I want to lose my fucking mind. I was, like, literally, like, about to cry because I'm just, like, so fucking frustrated because I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I've had insurance. If anything, I had double the insurance.
Yeah.
So, I called my mom. I was, like, crying. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I was, like, this is, like, so frustrating because, like, I did everything I was supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not a criminal. Like, yeah. I have insurance.
Well, you get treated like that when shit like that happens.
Yeah, like, literally, I don't even have a fucking speeding ticket. Like, the most I have is a fucking parking ticket for an expired meter. So, and my mom was like, okay, like, how about, like, wait until, like, Friday? That's 2 days since you uploaded it, like, or more than 2 days. Like, see what they say, and then, like, at that point, then you can call them and, like, ask them, like, what the else they fucking want from you. Yeah. Like, you have insurance, you've had insurance, like, there's nothing you can do right now. You did what you had to do, and then, like, we'll see Friday, like, once they process it. Yeah. I'm like, I literally don't know what to do, because I said, at this point, if I have to pay $200 to file an appeal and go before the court, I might as well just pay the $500 penalty.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, what a pain in the fucking ass for something I didn't even do wrong.
Wow. So what happened?
Yeah. I don't know. That was literally all today that I had to do all the paperwork and call everyone.
Oh, my God.
So I uploaded it, and hopefully by Thursday or Friday, they, like, dismiss it or whatever, and it's all resolved. If not, like, I don't know, God. I guess. I think I might just, I don't know, my mom's like, you're not paying anything. No. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, you'll have to talk to, like, a supervisor or someone. Like, you're not letting this go.
No way.
And she's like, that's what they do. Like, they put all these charges just to, like, get money and, like, have people, like, not want to put up a fight. But I'm like, I didn't even do anything wrong. Like,
well, yeah, they're just doing it to, like, overwhelm annoyed. You so that you pay it. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm like, well, it is a big deal because they're saying they're going to suspend my license or whatever for 3 months. Like, that's a big fucking deal. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, like, I actively know people who drive around without a fucking license, right? And, like, never get in trouble. No one, like, nothing.
It's because they don't care. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that sucks.
It's just, like, a stupid task that has to be dealt with. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, unnecessary.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh. Dang, that's... I'm really sorry.
Isn't that crazy? That's horrible. You ever heard of something so fucking ridiculous?
I mean, it is the DMV.
It's the DMV, like, I just, like, don't get it. I just don't understand.
Maybe someone knows what to do. That's listening.
Like, I don't want to spend, like, my work time, like, having to take, like, vacation to go to a fucking court date. No. To go before a fucking judge for nothing. And, like, the annoying thing is if it gets to that point and I go before the judge and I show him all of my paperwork, he's going to be like, well, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, why
like,
is this
I don't know.
Here?
Like, they made me come here. Like, I don't know how to fucking tell you. Yeah.
Probably that's, he'll like, be like, why are you here?
I'm not a judge or, like, a lawyer, but it seems, like, pretty, a like, waste. Legally, yeah, like, seems like everything's online.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening. Oh, yeah, of course. That was...
I would be. I would also be tears. Freaking out.
Hopefully an update for next week.
Okay, so as you know, our sponsor is... one of our sponsors is Escandalo. And Hair by Escandalo is a salon on the south side of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania that caters to laid-back and fun people who want to have the best hair in town. Next door to Hair by Escandalo is The Other Side, which has a full-service spa. And the spa is run by Cassie. She's an esthetician with over 6 years' experience. She's very sweet and knowledgeable. I can say firsthand that she is because I've gotten a facial from her before. She loves facials, microblading, dermaplaning, lash and brow tinting. And she offers full body waxing and doesn't gender any of her services. So all are welcome. You can visit them at their website at their website, escandalohair.com, or their Instagram at escandalohair or at escandalo.theotherside. If you're a new client and you want to chat first, you can schedule a COVID safe virtual consultation.
Thanks, Escandalo.
Thanks, Escandalo.
So, I hear you have a shorty.
I have a fun size topic.
A fun size? Oh, that's cute.
Well, so I was working on my research, and Cliff's like, wow, that's a fun topic for you guys to do. And I was like, oh, thanks. He's like, yeah, that's just a cute one for you guys. Like, I'm like, even he knows it's small. Oh, it's not cute, but like, it's cute.
Yeah, because when you told me what you were doing, then you told me it was cute. And I was like, maybe she changed her topic because what you described to me did not sound cute.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's like cute in like a, like it, I don't know. You'll see what I mean.
Okay.
So I did my topic this week on La Pascualita, which sounds like I've done it before, but I haven't. I did La Planchada and La Llorona.
Okay.
I'm really into Mexican folklore.
I love it. I love when you speak Spanish.
Thank you. So this one is mostly like a legend, and if we have any listeners from Mexico, I would love to hear if you have seen La Pascualita or know anything about them. So that would be really cool to know because it's hard to get a lot of information about this because we're not from there. It's kind of
like we don't, like, Americans don't have a good, like, folklore.
No, you know? That's why I think I'm so interested because, like, they're super into it. Like, there's some people who truly believe in these things. Not saying that I don't believe in them, but
yeah, but it's like part of their culture. Yeah. It's like very ingrained.
We don't have culture.
We're cultureless swine.
So I'm just adopting Mexico's culture.
Beautiful.
So okay, it's a legend. It's kind of like La Llorona, that everybody's story is a little bit different. But I originally heard of this from Ask a Mortician. Do you follow her?
Oh, maybe I don't know. I thought I did, but I don't.
You should. She's got good, interesting things to talk about. She did a video we were watching last night of her getting fake embalmed.
Oh, okay.
It was really weird, but kind of cool.
Sounds like it.
But I highly recommend. So I got a lot of information from her.
Okay.
But there's a bunch. It's very short. It's a little fun one.
Fun.
So in March 25th, 1930, Pasquale Esparza's bridal boutique called La Populaire in Chihuahua, Mexico, displayed a new mannequin. So the store had mannequins before. It's a bridal boutique, of course, but this mannequin was strikingly lifelike and extremely beautiful. Mm. She had rosy cheeks, natural flowing hair, clear eyes, and really, really realistic looking hands. Weirdly realistic looking hands. So everyone really admired this, and the mannequin became known as Chihuahua's most popular bride. Because everyone would go see her in the window. Mannequin. She's so beautiful. Uh-huh. They would go look at her. But while, people thought that she was really beautiful, she also made them passerbys and people in Chihuahua very uneasy. Mm. Because she was, it's like that Uncanny Valley effect.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized something about what I'm talking about, and I think maybe I was predicting my own future. Okay, so...
God, okay.
The locals...
This is going.
Yes, you'll see. The locals really, they admired the mannequin, but they were scared of her, but they couldn't help but notice that she looked a lot like Pasquale Esparza's daughter. And Pasquale's daughter had died fairly recently before the mannequin appeared. She was bitten by a Black Widow spider.
Oh, no.
I read that and I was like, fuck.
I don't think you were bitten by a Black Widow spider.
No, definitely not. And some tales say that maybe it was a scorpion, but it just depends on who you heard it from. And she died on her wedding day.
Oh, no.
So, locals were like, wow, that's pretty convenient that she just died, and now there's a mannequin that looks exactly like her in the window. And there are pictures of this daughter, and it does look kind of like her.
Ew.
It's weird. So, rumors started flying around Chihuahua.
Sure.
And locals believe that Pasquale and his wife embalmed their daughter and placed her in the window. That she was actually the corpse. The Esparza family's daughter's corpse.
They turned her into a mannequin.
And they turned her into a mannequin. So things started happening. The onlookers and passerbys claimed to see the mannequin. Well, first they claimed that she started changing positions. And they saw her changing position. That comes later. So she only changed positions at night. So one day she'd be just standing there. Another day she'd be posed in a different way. Which, I mean, really, anybody could do that.
No one changes mannequins daily that.
But, so then they also claimed to see her smile, wink.
Ew.
Yeah. They would occasionally see a single tear fall from her eye.
Oh my god.
So then the rumors changed again, and many people believed that La Pasqualita was actually still alive and trapped inside of the mannequin.
Oh my god.
But nobody did anything about it, apparently.
Yeah, they were just like, that's weird.
That sucks.
Really pretty mannequin, though.
Yeah, she's pretty. Sorry. And so then, there were other rumors that La Pasqualita, which she's sometimes referred to as Donna, but there's no record of that. I have no idea. But they believe that maybe her mother performed some kind of a ritual, which caused her daughter's spirit to be placed into the mannequin itself. But there's no record of that. So it was believed that Pasquale's wife wouldn't let anyone else change the mannequin, so she was the only one that was allowed to change the mannequin. But there were workers in the shop who had come forward and said that they had seen her changing La Pasqualita, and she had dark green veins, like not normal for a mannequin.
Right.
And then
yeah, mannequins don't have veins.
No, it was like way too lifelike. And then there were others that said that she would dance around the shop at nighttime.
Ew.
So I found this through Ask a Mortician first. Mm-hmm. So she kind of like went in to discuss what she thought like scientifically is going on, because like it is weird. It's a weird looking thing. You'll have to see.
Yeah.
So basically what she believed and what I had read in a few other articles is that there's no way that it's an actual embalmed person in there.
Okay.
So do you know about Vladimir Lenin?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So his corpse, hold on, let me get a date. I don't have that in here. So he died in 1924, okay? He was he founded the Soviet Union, that Lenin.
Okay.
Okay. So he died in 1924, and they've, in Russia, they're still preserving his body.
Oh.
Like, his body is fully preserved and on display at all times, I guess.
Ew.
I'm not 100% sure on that one. But there's a full team working to keep his body preserved at all time. A full team of, like,
yeah.
I'm not sure what we would call them. But so
yeah, they probably have their own job description in Russia.
I'm sure. So, she was explaining on there that even Lenin's body got moldy at times, even though they're working around the clock to preserve him, and several of his limbs had to be removed and replaced.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just embalm someone and expect that to be good for eternity.
So she said that, like, in this, that basically the way, because she's in a shop window, because La Pasqualita's in a shop window, she's exposed to the sun, bacteria, air, all day. And for her to look as perfect as she does, and she still looks the same today, it would be almost impossible for that to happen without her becoming discolored or smelling. Mm-hmm. She said the smell would probably still be pretty, like, prevalent.
Pretty gnarly,
So it's almost impossible that is truly a corpse there, but it seems that the legend is still pretty much alive in Chihuahua. So the mannequin has stayed in the window of the shop for 90 plus years.
Oh god.
Yeah, the most recent owner has attempted to, obviously, like, Pasquale and his wife passed away since then.
Mm-hmm.
But the most recent owner, now, I don't know, a lot of the YouTube videos I was watching of, like, people going there were not in English, so it was a little bit harder to understand.
Right.
But the most recent owner is still keeping the dignity of La Pasqualita alive. Like, so this owner only dresses her in private. She's changed 2 times a week to help keep, like, the mystery of it, because people go to see just her.
Sure.
The workers still, from what I understand, tell the story of her. Like, they still make it seem like she, when they're asked, is that a corpse? They say, oh, we don't know. Like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't tell you.
So it's, like, a fun little thing. People come from all over to go see her. I saw the most recent video I could find was on YouTube in 2020. And she was in the window still. So I'm guessing she's still there. If you've ever been there or you're around there, I'd love to know if you know.
I looked up the photos, and the face looks like a normal mannequin. But the hands look weird.
The hands are too realistic, and it's 1930.
Yeah, like, unnecessary for the hands to be like that for a mannequin.
So, okay, so this is my thought on it all. That's the story. There's not, like, a whole lot to it, but this is my thought. And from, I was reading through, like, some YouTube comments, because, like, I found that the best things you learn are through YouTube comments, because it's people who yeah, are, right? like, talking about shit that they have experienced. And my ultimate thought is that the parents maybe were really, obviously were very upset that their daughter died.
Mm-hmm.
So they commissioned a mannequin to look like her, to keep her on display.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then maybe the story of her being, maybe like the rumors of her spirit being there or something, or like her being a corpse, maybe that in a way that was comforting to them.
I was thinking more like along the lines of Annabelle, like she became like not possessed, but like her spirit went inside the mannequin.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yikes.
I wonder why or what, like, so, you know, like, in churches and stuff, how they, like, the statues cry and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's kind of like that. And so I was thinking about this. I was trying to make a connection because I'm like, where are people feeling this way from? Because, like, a lot of South America is predominantly Catholic. Mm-hmm. And Catholics love that shit. They love crying, weeping statues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that makes sense. Maybe it's like a thing where you... And I'm totally into them as well. Like, I grew up Catholic. Like, that was so... I found that to be, like, horrifying and awesome at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm wondering if maybe it's one of those, like, power of suggestion kind of things where you look and it seems like... She's like...
That's what I was going to say, too. Like, you know the story behind it, and it looks so... It doesn't look like a normal mannequin, no. So your brain kind of makes that connection and gives you that uneasy feeling.
Yeah, I think she's just a really elaborate mannequin.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. I think from the scientific standpoint, that an embalmed corpse would not last the test of time. It would smell. It'd be, like, stinky.
It can't be stinky. Well, so
I... Especially to maintain, like, those facial structures, too.
Her face looks very young still.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching that thing on embalming, and it's, like... Sorry if this is, like, gross, because it was a little gross, but it's quite a process. Like, it's pretty involved to keep people even, like, looking fresh for, like, a couple days. Like... It's, like, a lot. Like, I can't imagine, one, it was a long time ago, so I'm sure they didn't have a lot of, like, the same things.
Yeah, and, like, the mannequin looks lively. Like, any dead body I've seen at funerals, not, like, you know, casually, but, like, any dead body that I see, that they look dead. Like, they don't look like they're taking a nap or anything. Like, they look like they're fucking dead, you know what I mean? They don't look, like, perky or anything.
Yeah, so... I'm not sure, but I think it's a cool story.
It is a cool story. It's weird.
It's a little creepy. For sure. I wouldn't, you know what I wouldn't doubt, though? Like, I wouldn't doubt that maybe she's haunted.
That, yeah, I'd be inclined to believe that. That makes sense to me. Especially if, like, she was built in, the mannequin was built to look like the daughter, and, like, like you said, like, they're obviously very upset, they probably talk about their daughter a lot,
yeah.
And the connection with the wedding, like, I think that summons a spirit, you know?
Yeah, I think so. But it's pretty cool. That would be cool to see.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like like an Annabelle thing where people go and they experience weird stuff afterwards or something.
Oh, but, I'm pretty sure people... I think this is the same thing. Like, I'm pretty sure people bring her things, like flowers and
stuff.
Or they did. Maybe not anymore, they did.
Interesting. Yeah. But, you know, that's a good business tactic for the shop owners, though.
I was thinking, I'm like, how would you not keep that going?
Yeah, right?
Like, I would go there just to see that. And then, you know, I mean, it's like a pretty, it's kind of a tough thing to use as marketing when it's like just for a bridal boutique. True. But like, still.
At least it attracts a crowd, makes a name.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's La Pascualita. Thanks, Marissa. I'm sorry it was so short, but...
No, mine's also short, so it's good. All right, before I get into mine, we will hear from Little Bean Soapery. Little Bean Soapery is a woman-owned, handcrafted soap business specializing in skin-loving, cold-processed soaps, seasonal and theme soaps, sugar scrubs, body butters, body oils, beard oils, and bath bombs and soaks. The products are primarily created by Brandy with the help of Mother Lori and with moving, setup, and building help from her boyfriend Brian. The Little Bean herself, Brandy's daughter Rosa, can be found picking fragrances, colors, designs, and helping to stir and mold bath bombs. Little Bean Soapery is truly a small family business that prides itself on creating high quality and unique body care products. You can see what Little Bean Soapery is up to on Facebook and Instagram and order products on their social media or at littlebeansoapery.com. We love small businesses.
Thanks, Little Bean.
All right, so my little fun size topic is a cryptid.
Yes.
One that I have not heard of. So this little ditzy. I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but whatever. I'm going to tell you about the Loveland Frog.
Oh, I love him already.
So Loveland Frog, also known as Loveland Frogman or Loveland Lizard. And he is, or it, I don't know, is a cryptid from Loveland, Ohio. And I love with cryptids, even though we can't prove if they exist or don't exist, they still get scientific names.
I know.
So the scientific name for the Loveland Frog is Rana sericutus.
So,
before I give you the description, can you guess what the Loveland Frogman looks like?
Did you ever read the books Frog and Toad?
Yes.
I imagine that he looks like that.
Basically.
That's what I immediately thought of.
So, the Loveland Frogmen are bipedal frogs, and they have leathery skin and webbed hands and feet. They have frog-like heads with wrinkly skin on top of it, and they stand anywhere between 3 to 4 feet tall on their back legs.
Jesus.
If they are real, this would be the only frog that stands on its hind legs. So basically like the characters from the book, but
yes.
I guess taller. So the first story of the frogmen comes from the 1950s. So there's, I guess, like three different versions of the first sighting of the frogmen. So the first version of the story is that there was a businessman or a traveling salesman or a Bible seller, not sure, but okay. One of the three. He is driving by himself on a dark, unmanned road in Loveland, Ohio. So he's heading on a street called he's heading out of Branch Hill neighborhood, and he shines his car's headlights and he sees these huge figures. Three of them.
Oh, no.
So there's three figures on their hind legs standing in the middle of the road. So the man honks his horn and the figures, like, perk up and they, like, look at him.
God.
And they twist their necks around. And this businessman / Bible seller sees three leathery skin and frogs facing him.
Oh.
So that was just the first version of the story, just an encounter of three frogmen in the road doing their business and, like, looking back and being spooked.
Okay.
The other version of that same story is that he was under the Loveland Bridge that goes over the Little Miami River, where he honks his horn and a creature shout out from under the bridge and landed on his hood of his car.
Oh my God.
And croaks at him.
No.
And the driver passes out.
Because he's so scared?
Yeah, I guess, like, taken aback by this
I think that's a little extreme, honestly. Like,
I don't know. I've never passed out in my life, but I think, like, that would be the moment I would pass out. At least I've never passed out sober. The third version of the story is that he's at the same bridge, the Loveland Bridge, and he pulls over off the side of the road, and he spots the creatures, and there's three of them talking amongst each other. And the driver calls out to them, like, hey, like, what are you guys doing? And it says that, the story says that the Loveland Frogman, one of them, gets up, points his finger at his friends, the other frog creatures, and makes, like, this, like, a gesture, like, shh, like, quiet. And then he turns to the driver who interrupted them and says, can't you see we're holding a conversation? Wow. How rude.
Wow.
And then Marissa, he holds out a wand over the his head and flicks a wand like Harry Potter style.
Yes.
And a blaze of sparks come out of the wand. And I don't think it hits the driver, but it spooks him enough that he gets back into his car and he leaves.
Spooks.
So that was like the first version of the story from the 1950s. Don't know which one actually happened, but that's the three originating stories. That's the best one.
That's my favorite.
So the Frogman, and it looks like it's multiple frogmen.
Oh.
So it looks like there's frog men, but it seems like over time maybe some of them have died out and it leads to there only being one frog man. Okay. That's the gist I'm getting. So the frog men, no one really hears from them for another like 20 years. And then we go to March 3rd, 1972, where this is one of, I guess, the first like really documented incident of the frog men. So, on March 3rd, 1972, at 1 a.m., on a clear and cold night, there's an officer named Ray Shockey, and he was en route to Loveland via Riverside Road, where he was driving, and he thought he saw a dog on the side of the road in a field by Twitwee Road. So, he thought he saw a dog, but then he saw the quote-unquote dog stand up.
Oh, my God.
And the eyes from the creature illuminated the car lights and looked at the officer for an instant and then turned around and then jumped over the guardrail.
What the?
And the officer said that he saw it go down the embankment into the Little Miami River.
The Little Miami!
The officer described what he saw as being weighing around 60 pounds, standing at about 3 to 4 feet tall and having textured leathery skin and a face of either a frog or a lizard. So he saw this and then he drove to the police station and like to tell his coworkers like what he saw. So he came back and with another officer, Officer Mark Matthews, to look for evidence of the creature, maybe even try to find him. They obviously didn't find him, but they found scrape marks down the hill of the embankment where he went into the river. So there was a creature there that went down to the embankment, mm-hmm. but they just didn't know what it was. So then, was it like 2 weeks later, on March 17th, 1972, that same Officer Matthews, the one that the first Officer Shockey brought to go look out, Officer Matthews was driving outside of Loveland when he also had a similar encounter. So he was driving and he saw an animal laying in the middle of the road.
Oh, no.
And he thought it was like roadkill, so he pulled over to get it off the road. And so he opened his car door, and as soon as the car door like squeaked to open, the animal that was in the middle of the road got up and crouched into on his legs like a football player crouch and hobbled to the guardrail and lifted its leg over the guardrail keeping an eye on the officer the whole time. And then the officer said, like, had, like, a little smirk on his face. So the officer Matthews was like, what the fuck? So he decided to shoot it, and he shot at it. Jesus. But he missed. But he later said, And then later on, he went to describe that he felt that the creature that he saw stood more upright than the way the previous officer, Shockey, had described it.
Okay.
So he said, like, it's, like, the way Shockey described it was, like, it was kind of, like, hunched over, but Matthew says it was more, like, really upright. And then an area farmer also told investigators that he saw a large frog-like or lizard-like creature in the same area the same month that both of the officers saw it.
Hmm.
So March 1972 was a time where, like, there's multiple sightings of the frogmen. So this I only saw in one article, and I couldn't corroborate it with other articles, so I don't know if this actually happened. So Matthews had shot at it. What I read was that he missed, so I'm assuming the creature just went off. Mm-hmm. But another article said that he shot it, and he got it, and put the body in the trunk of his car to show to the other officer, Shockey.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shockey saw it and said, like, oh yeah, that's the creature that I saw. But I don't know how accurate that is, because I only saw that in one article, and everything else is like, no, he, like, shot and missed it. So I don't know what happened to it. So I don't know if that was just, like, a fluke article or what. What I read was that after these two officers had made these claims about the frogmen, they received, like, a lot of, like, they were made fun of, basically, by the community.
Honestly, I would probably make fun of them.
People in the area said, like, the officers received, like, a lot of flack about it. They were like, who, like, come on, like, you saw a frog creature? Like, so, I don't think they were, like, you know, asked to leave, like, the police force or anything, but I think, like, they were given, like, a real hard time about it, probably at, like, the bars or events and stuff like that.
I'm sure.
So Matthews came out in 1999, and he gave an interview to reporters, and he's like, listen, like, I'm tired of talking about this frogman, and you know what? It wasn't a frogman that I saw. It was really an iguana. And I thought it was not an iguana because it was really big. It was, like, 4 feet tall, and its tail was cut off, so it didn't initially look like an iguana. I thought it looked like a frog, but it's not a frogman. It's iguana. Like, I'm sorry I even said anything. Like, stop making fun of me about it. So the interesting thing is that the other officer, Shockey, after the incident happened, he described to his sister what he saw. And his sister drew, like, a sketch of it. And it legit looks like a giant fucking frog standing on its hind legs. Mm. And, listen, like, I understand them, like, wanting to recant and be like, forget I even said anything.
But that's kind of hard to do.
But the fact, it's hard to do, and the fact that the officer Shockey told his sister, like, the day after what happened, and she drew a picture, and he's like, yeah, that's what that's I saw. It. Like, it's kind of hard to, like, you know, live that down. So it is interesting to wonder, like, why they initially made the report, and then, like, 20 years later, like, forget it. It didn't happen. It was an iguana, which I don't know if iguanas are prominent in Ohio.
Why would you take it back? It's been, like, you've been getting made fun of for, like, 30 years.
Yeah, I think if anything, you're just drawing more attention. Like, you're probably retired from the police force at this time.
He just wants to bring the story back. He's like, I was just kidding. It was an iguana. A big iguana.
So, that was, like, the 1970s. And then there was a recent sighting in 2016.
Oh, no. wait, real quick. Before you do that, speaking of 2016, people believed that La Pascualita, like, voted in the 2016 election.
No.
Or got a hand in it or something like that. There was, like, a weird rumor
about it. She rigged the election.
But, okay, I'm so sorry.
Who did she vote for?
Whoever won, I think. Like, it was her fault that they won. Like, she was the boat that pushed it over.
She's the one. I can't. Okay, so in 2016, a high schooler, Sam Jacobs, he was playing Pokemon Go. If we remember Pokemon Go, in summer in August 2016, near Congressional Beth Adams Synagogue on Loveland Madeira Road. So he was out there like everyone else was in 2016 playing Pokemon Go in the community, and he was crossed train tracks to the banks of Lake Isabella when he spotted something strange. So he said that him and his friends, I don't have the friends' names, but Sam was the one that was the spokesperson. He said that he saw a huge frog in the water. And he's like, it wasn't in the game. Like, it was an actual giant frog in person. It wasn't on Pokemon Go. Oh. And he said that he saw the thing stand up and walk on its hind legs. And then this is what he said, quote, I realize this sounds crazy, but I swear on my grandmother's grave this is the truth. So he said that the frog stood 4 feet tall, and he had photos of it, but they were, like, super dark, like, you couldn't really make it out, yeah. But you could see, like, a little, like, frog head in, like, some water. So he says, like, I don't know, like, what to think of it, but, like, I know what I saw. He's like, I'm not sure if it was a frogman or just a giant frog, but I just know that I've never seen anything like it.
Aww.
So then I was like, what is this? Because it was like a local, like, news story article. So I was like, is there more on this? Because it was pretty recent. So then I found out that there was an article from a local high school about this from their, like, school newspaper or magazine. So I went on the school's website from Archbishop Moeller High School. And their publication's called The Moeller Crusader. Ooh. And they said they had an expose. And the writer said that they interviewed someone who they referred to as Jim. And Jim said that he is actually the frogman that Sam Jacobs saw when he was playing Pokemon Go in the summer of 2016.
How did they get this story?
Well, I don't know if Jim came forward as an anonymous.
Why would you come forward to a high school newspaper?
Or if this is parody, I don't know. It was not tagged as a parody, right? But so this student, we'll call Jim. He's also a high school student at Moeller High School, whatever it's called. And he sat down for an interview with the publication. And this is what he said. Quote, I've been obsessed with the Loveland Frog since I was a little boy. He's like my idol. I dress up as him and go to the tunnel and hop around a few times a week. I sometimes make little chocolates shaped as flies, and I'll eat them while I hop around. And no, I don't think it's weird.
This has got to be a joke.
He later said that he wasn't the Loveland Frogman, and was merely trying to cosplay him.
What?
He said, quote, I want to honor his legacy. Hopefully one day he will appear again and I'll be able to meet him and become his first devoted disciple.
Oh, that's just a fucking joke. That's
absolutely... I don't know.
Oh, man. That... Now,
the writer of this article, he ends the writing by saying, Jim seemed like a pretty cool dude. Unfortunately, he wasn't the Loveland Frogman, but Jim's appearance made it very clear that the legend is still alive and well in our town. We will continue to search, and hopefully one day we will find the Loveland Frogman. Stay vigilant, folks. Good night.
Please send me that article. Please. I will. God.
That's the story of the Loveland Frogman. I do want to say in May 2014, there was a musical made Inspiration. I didn't watch it, obviously. I didn't listen to the soundtrack. That'll be my next mission, but it's called, if you want to look it up, it's called Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog Musical.
What the fuck?
And the town, kind of like Mothman, they embrace the Loveland Frogman, and they actually have a 5K called the Loveland Frogman Race. I think it was the 7th year they did it. They actually just had it last week on September 11th.
What?
So, the Loveland Frogman stays alive and well in Loveland, Ohio.
And that was by far, to date, my favorite one you've ever done.
So I don't know if it's real or not, but I love the story.
That is the best story I've ever heard. Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
That was phenomenal.
I hope that Jim kid graduated from high school and is living out his Frogman dreams.
Like, part of me hopes that it's a parody, but part of me hopes that it's not.
Well, also, you know, like, sometimes if you go on, like, The Onion or something, it says, like, satire or whatever. Yeah. This, I mean, it's only a high school publication, but it didn't have any tags on it, so I don't know.
I don't know, but that was great.
I forgot to tell you, well, because it's not a visual podcast, but that the article from the high school, they have, like, pictures of him in a frog costume. You'll have a lot of pictures to choose from for the post.
Oh my god.
Between the sketch of the frogman to the Jim in the frog costume.
I'm gonna have to do a collage. I don't know. That's so good.
Oh, well, I hope everyone enjoyed that.
I know I had a great time.
I'm glad. Here to entertain.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sorry it was a shorty, but that's all the info that's there on the frog, man.
One of my faves. I can't even be
great. All right, well, we'll wrap it up. I have to go eat. I'm hungry.
I have to eat, too. I'm having spaghetti.
All right. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email us at butwhatdowenowpod@gmail.com, and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and stay vigilant of the frogman if you're in Ohio. We're close, he might cross the border into Pennsylvania. He'll just hop right over. Okay, I'm done. Okay.